If something's on your mind, making you mad, tips to stay kind, take time to breathe, put your head at ease, and let's talk about it.
Welcome, one and all, to episode 2, season 2 of Talk About a Podcast. If you haven't listened to episode 1 already, I would encourage you to go back and listen to that one first, because in case you don't already know, this season is going to be slightly different from the last, as I've collaborated with Fresh Film Festival to bring you a podcast season exclusive of the 2022 festival. In this episode, I chat with board member and project manager of the BFI Future Film Academy, Alison McCloskey, and the 2021 Irish Young Filmmaker of the Year, Ellen Nendercoth. It's going to be a very interesting episode filled with a lot of incredible stories. So, without further ado, let's get started. But first, I'm going to introduce to you this week's wonderful young musician. As always, I'm delighted to announce this week's talented young musician is Colm Gavin, with his original song, On Firebird Avenue. If you like what you hear on this episode, then you can give him a follow on Instagram, at Colm Gavin. His Instagram can also be found on my own Instagram page, at _ talk about a podcast, where I have posted the announcement of his feature on my episode. So the song I'm playing today is from his latest EP called The 1992 Tapes. And it's Colm's pretty amazing because he was the number one singer-songwriter charts. He reached number 56 on the American Billboard 100 and 81 on the Italian pop charts. So he's pretty amazing and I actually love this song. It is so, so wonderful and Colm's voice is special. It's something else. So without further ado, here we go. This is On Firebird Avenue by Colm Gavin.
Papa's drinking Percy's brandy and cream. Sister's marching with the red baton, homecoming team. Ma chews the fat by the news, and Ray's just singing the blues. On Radio K105, here come old Dandy, just a trace in the block. He's selling old gold teeth, poured wine, shallots, and Birkenstocks. He's got a girl by the bay that's in the family way. Trouble in a little town. I heard it said, though I have never been sure, the man that sells the panic, selling the cure, and what's more, he'll throw his tie around the door. And I learned just what that's for. On Firebird Avenue. On Firebird Avenue. Firebird Avenue. Billy's Diner, they serve breakfast all day. Pretty checkout girls to melt or steal your heart away. What's been eating you but a good rug if I could? There's nothing bad about nothing good. Talking that jive when it's a quarter to five. On Firebird Avenue. On Firebird Avenue. On Firebird Avenue.
So I am absolutely delighted to be joined today by the fabulous Alison McCloskey. Alison, how are you keeping today?
I'm super, Emmeline. It's a pleasure to be on your podcast. It sounds so great.
Oh, thank you so much, Alison. So for people who don't know you, do you want to introduce yourself?
Sure thing. My name is Alison McCluskey, and I am based in London for the past 25 years or so. And for 20 years of that period of time, I've been involved in film education, coordinating free Saturday film clubs and holiday projects for young people, you know, outside of school, because a lot of schools here don't teach film and media, or at least didn't 20 years ago. So aside from being from running youth filmmaking courses in London for the past 20 years, I'm also an active member in something called the Youth Cinema Network, which is a collective of festivals all over the world that are committed to showcasing the work of young filmmakers. This led me to finding out more about Fresh Film Festival in Limerick. And I was delighted to join the board of Fresh 4 years ago. I do lots of different things. And right now I'm running something called the BFI Future Film Academy, which is based at the British Film Institute on the south bank of the river in London. And we run a nice course sort of preparing young people to get into the film industry, predominantly 16 to 19 year olds who aren't at university but have a passion for film and would really like to try to develop their skills and make a short film with us. And we do that between September and December every year. So that's a really lovely project that I'm very passionate about, and I've been doing that for the last 10 years.
Well, you sound like a very busy lady, Alison, with all these projects going on. But tell me, how did you get interested in film in the first place? What sparked that inspiration for you to go into the film industry, if you will?
That's a really good question. So, you know, I'm old enough to remember the times when we had like one channel on TV and not a fantastic selection of films in our local multiplex cinema, apart from sort of Hollywood movies. So when I was 16, I went to art school in Grennan Mill in Thomastown in Kilkenny, and I met someone there who was from Cork. And she told me that there was a Cork Film Festival. I had never even heard about a film festival and what that could be like. So I we had these student ticket passes. It was like €30 to attend the festival over 7 days. And it was showcasing international film, documentary, experimental film, short films. It opened up this whole world to me of moving image material that I never even dreamed existed. And I was just totally hooked. And I think 1 week we counted, we watched 180 films in 7 days, because we got up really early in the morning and watched films until really late at night.
Oh my goodness.
And I did this for about 10 years with her. So that was kind of my film, my first introduction into sort of serious cinema. And then when I came to London, it was something I couldn't help myself but get involved in. I started making Super 8 films, and it wasn't long before I set up that group run some film classes, because I sort of saw that a lot of young people were really interested in making films, but that wasn't really accessible to them. So I thought it was a really worthwhile thing to undertake.
It certainly is, Alison, and you've done so much for young filmmakers. But can I ask why you're so invested in people's young films and you're so interested in supporting them? Because I think it's such a fantastic thing to do when the older generation support the next generation, if you will, in film and creativity. I think it's always so fantastic to see. So what inspired you to inspire other young filmmakers?
Okay, so I mean, it goes without saying how I feel about art and cinema, in the cultural landscape, and how important it is. More so passionate about representing the voices of those who are sort of underrepresented, shall we say, and especially youth voices, you know, because Hollywood movies, that's sort of all very well, but it tends to sort of come from a very narrow perspective and outlook on life. you know, making films is an art form that's particularly well suited, I think, for young people, because it's got this lovely mixture of challenges to it. It's technical, so you've got some sort of you know, computer aspects of editing and animation and playing around with cameras and things like that, and capturing sound. There's also like acting, so it's just a little bit like playing. What's that word? Pretend play. You know, when you're a kid, that you do. Life is like a little theater, and I just find young people have this natural ability to use their imaginations to come up with stories in a kind of less inhibited way that, say, an older film student or an adult would, where they have this very much a perceived idea of how a film should look. I love the way young people just sort of dive in and are much more open to experimentation. And out of experimentation comes innovation. And so I always was really excited about the content that young people would come up with. And of course, it's not like teaching a subject that's kind of heavy. Young people usually come flocking to free film classes because it's like music. Most young people know film and they're media savvy. And so they really want to try their hand at that. So they enjoy it. We enjoy it. The results are fantastic. And so it's just a huge pleasure to be part of that journey and that circle of kind of starting, getting a project going, and then sitting in a packed cinema with 500 people watching young people's films on the big screen. This is the really fantastic outcome.
Don't think there's anything like that, Alison. I mean, for one, I know the Fresh Film Festival every year, they, you know, get all the nominees into a theatre and everyone watches each other's films together. And I say there's nothing like that atmosphere. It's just amazing. And to hear your passion about that is just absolutely fantastic. So do you have any tips for young filmmakers or people who maybe, let's say, are interested in film but just don't know where to begin?
Certainly. I mean, from a theoretical point of view, I would sort of start by saying what you think about, you know, it's very important to educate yourself about cinema and different kinds of cinema. So really absorb that like a sponge, then sort of think about what's my place in this? What can I add to this story wise and so on? Then from the practical side, I would say, you know, films are hard to make. It's very difficult to make a film alone, maybe unless you're an animator and you're spending 10 hours in your bedroom every evening drawing thousands of drawings. You need to find young people who are just as interested in making films as you are. So then you form a team. And then I would say, don't be overly ambitious as you start out. You know, don't write any scenes into your films with helicopters flying into buildings. And, you know, you start low budget, start making films with your mobile phone and just sort of dive in and have fun, because every film that you make would be better than the film you made before. And, you know, you'll improve with experience, and also to use the resources that are close to you. So if you have an uncle who has a van near a castle in a field, and you know, pick up all these elements that are immediate to you, that you don't have to search for, that are on your doorstep. Just make films together. And I guess that would be my advice. Yeah,
brilliant. Just start and use what you have around you. I think that's so. It's not said enough, I think, when it's so discouraging in a way for young filmmakers to see this huge budget films, especially around the Oscars, like millions go into every film. So, you know, to think that a film can be made with low budget, it's not always generally seen on the big screen. So it's fantastic to just have that encouragement and for people to start saying that, yeah, you can do it and you have to start somewhere. So I love all that advice you gave, Alison. It was brilliant. So can you tell us maybe a bit about your involvement with Fresh, how it began and where you are now with Fresh.
Yeah, sure. So my first experience with Fresh, as I said before, came out of my involvement in the Youth Cinema Network, which I was introduced to via the BFI. And that's sort of a collective organization of film festivals all over Europe and the world who, as I said before, showcase youth film. And there was one of our annual, we have a conference every year where people running these filmmaking courses, or rather festivals that are showcasing youth film, come together and we talk about our projects, which is really useful because we exchange ideas for projects that we that are successful, and we show the movies that we've made either in workshops or that have come to our festivals and done really well. So we're dedicated very much to the distribution of youth film. So then I came to Fresh, which was one of the few festivals I visited as that were part of the Youth Cinema Network. And I believe that Fresh, Kirda, who runs Fresh, was one of the founding members of the YCN back in the day. And then we had a symposium about youth film education, which again was great. It was really fantastic and encouraging to see how many youth filmmaking projects were happening around Ireland, not just in the cities, but in the countrysides and small villages. And it's, there seemed to be a really great momentum going on in Ireland. And then I attended a Fresh awards ceremony like the one you're going to go to tomorrow. And I just I saw one of these Odeon cinemas packed full of young people who were out of school. You know, they were in their school uniforms. It wasn't even the holidays. And watching the films that they've made or their friends have made or other kids have made on this big screen and getting really excited about that. And as you say, the atmosphere was electric then. So from meeting with Jane Foley and Kirda, Jane Foley, the director of Fresh, we thought it might be a nice idea for me to sit on the board because I'm sort of bringing a different experience, having worked in the UK for so many years. We may have other ways of doing things and da da da. So it was just we thought it might make a nice fit. So I'm just honored to be on the board of Fresh because I'm passionate about what they do in terms of encouraging young people to make film and watch film, you know.
Yeah, definitely. They do amazing work every year. I mean, the people behind it are just spectacular. And I know myself and a few other filmmakers were chatting this week and just saying the amount of work that goes into the festival every year is just surreal. And everyone is just so thankful for this to even be an opportunity, you know, to have that platform for young filmmakers. So thank you to yourself and everyone in Fresh, really, for just that platform, because it is absolutely super and it gives people so many opportunities. I think, is there a story in particular for you that has come from Fresh, maybe a story about a filmmaker or a certain film that really stands out to you?
Yeah, I certainly echo what you say about the rewards that come from the work I do. So from Fresh, I mean, I'm not there physically because I'm in London. So sometimes I'm not working very closely, or sometimes I never even meet the young filmmakers who take part. But I did on one occasion, I was invited to Sweden to run an experimental filmmaking workshop. And we had a couple of young people from Ireland who'd run a prize, who had done well in Fresh. And then they were invited to Sweden, to a small school up in the north of Sweden with some Serbian students. And some UK, I brought two students from the UK, and there were some students from Croatia and Sweden. So we had this international group of young filmmakers, and we had a week to make short films. As I said, I ran the experimental, and some other mentors and tutors ran documentary, animation, narrative. And that was a fantastic experience. And we went out into the wilds of Sweden with a drone camera and took amazing pictures of the snowy landscape.
Amazing.
So that was one of the outcomes, really nice outcomes from Fresh, is that we reward and support and offer ongoing support for young filmmakers who we recognize as having a lot of potential and talent, and to sort of make sure that keeps going, that's sort of sustainable, that we just don't go, well done, all the best. You want to sort of tell them very much, what's the next step for you? You know, can we lead you towards a funding scheme or a mentoring scheme, or do you know what I mean? To sort of help them to develop 100%. Into fully fledged filmmakers.
Yeah, and long may it last, Alison, because that is absolutely insane, the work you put into this and the opportunities you give to so many young people. But Fresh isn't the only film festival you've worked on, you've been a part of. You were a huge part of the Ram on Rye Festival. I hope I'm saying that correctly. But if you want to tell us a little bit about that and your experience with that festival as well.
Yes, absolutely. YAM, or Youth Animation and Media, was one of the first youth filmmaking clubs, you could say, that I was involved in. That started up in 2002, you know, back in the day where there was no YouTube and no Vimeo and no digital cameras. So we were using like Super 8 millimeter analog film and mini DV camcorders and cameras that had like a big huge VHS tape inside, like a big brick, you know. But I was making films with students back then, and at some point the films were getting better and better, like I said before, and we were a little bit disheartened by the fact that a lot of adult film festivals, if you like, weren't accepting those films because they were a little bit rough around the edges, shall we say. And so I thought these films really deserve to be on the big screen. So we were operating in Peckham in South London, and the main street in Peckham is Rye Lane. So we call the festival YAM on Rye. And a couple of the local cinemas there were super kind and helpful in terms of giving us a few hours free in one of their screens. So we just invited kids from local schools and youth clubs to attend. And while we were at it, said, you know, drop us your films, we'll put them on the screen. We won't even curate the festival. Just if you've made a film, give it to us and we'll put it on the screen. And also during those screenings, tell them about opportunities to where they could go and make more films, attend little classes and so on. So that was the first, as far as I'm aware, the first youth film festival in London that was just exclusively showcasing the work of young people. You had maybe other festivals who were showcasing films that appealed to a youth audience, but we thought it was very important to showcase young films, and that's what the YCN is all about. And then later on, I ran a project for 4 years called the Flipside Film Festival. And this was very much about, you talked about how it takes massive work to organize a festival. Yes. So I trained up 20 young people every year to run their own festival. So it was very much about teaching them how to, you know, find a venue, curate a program, you know, buy the popcorn, book the cinemas and do all of that. And that's really, it is a monumental, it's about planning, programming and delivering an event, if you like, a huge scale event. And it was really, again, young people come up with super ideas. So out of that, we had a lot of like pop-up screenings in unusual venues, mm-hmm. Basketball courts of schools and old rundown Blockbuster video stores and, you know, just a wall in a park. So bringing that cinema into really nice spaces where young people wouldn't be sort of intimidated and afraid to come and see it and find out more about it. So that was a beautiful project that ran for 4 years. That's my experience in festivals. And
that is amazing, Alison.
So I miss it.
I'm sure you do. You're a very experienced lady. I can tell with all these film festivals going on. It's absolutely fantastic, you know, to hear your stories and to hear all your experience. But can I ask your opinion on the power of cinema? Because the Oscars were a few days ago and everyone's talking about it, as I'm sure you're aware. And everyone's aware, really. It's just always a topic of conversation when it comes on our TVs. But the power of cinema, what does that mean to you? And I suppose, how does it impact our lives? Because it always fascinates me how many people just love film and it's their passion. It's all they want to do with their lives. Or even if it's not something they want to do with their life, they're just invested in film. They just love watching and critiquing films. So to you, what is the power of cinema?
So I have to cast my mind back to, you know, as I said, when I was 16 years old and left school and didn't have much access to a broader spectrum, shall we say, of cinema. And when I went to the Cork International Film Festival, what I found was when I sat in the dark and a movie came up that was not the usual sort of content I was used to seeing. What I found was it was like a magic carpet that took me to another country, to another culture, to a slice of someone else's life that I could never have imagined existed, and just sort of transported that on a screen. And in the space of an hour and a half, give me this sort of concentrated view of somebody's life and another place. And I just thought that was kind of so powerful and amazing. And a lot of the films I saw back then were sort of life-changing. You know, it's a bit like art. It doesn't sort of come to you. You have to come to it as well. You have to sort of really open your mind. And if you do that, again, the rewards are kind of infinite, because films are full of stories that you would normally never have access to. So I just found that whole sort of thing, I just found that whole process magical, and how I could just be transported somewhere else to another world and have life-changing experiences.
Amazing words, Alison. Absolutely fantastic. Unfortunately, we are running out of time. Mm-hmm. So I will have to ask you, I suppose, the final two questions I ask all my interviewees. And the first one is, what is a quote you live by and why?
Ah, a quote I live by. Good one. So what I would say is, don't compete and don't compare. What I mean by that is, don't spend too much time thinking, am I good enough? Am I as good as that person or that person? You have your own unique voice and stories to tell that are as important as anybody else on the planet. And you're just sort of wasting your time if you compare, you know, somebody else's achievement to yours, because what you have might be better or richer, or, you know, it is what it is and it's unique. And so just be yourself, use your own voice. And don't be afraid to develop that into art.
Beautiful, Alison. And one thing you would like everyone to take away from our conversation here today?
Make films. Just sort of eat, drink, and sleep film. if that's something that you're interested in.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful thing. And the more you do, the more you write stories and get together with friends, and you can make a film in a day or a week or a year. But I just really hope people go out there and feel inspired to make films and do everything they can to make that happen. Regardless of, you know, you don't have to have, as you say, a huge budget. It's about the stories that you're telling that is the most important thing.
Oh, definitely, Alison. And I always said when I started this podcast, I said, if this podcast inspires one person, I would have done my job. And I feel like this interview will definitely have inspired someone out there somewhere to pick up a camera and go make a film. So hopefully it has. And I cannot wait to see their films. And Alison, thank you so much for coming on today. I really enjoyed our chat. And yes, we'll hopefully meet in person soon.
Yes, I very much hope so. Enjoy the festival. I wish I was there. And I hope it's really successful and fun.
Thanks so much, Alison.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. So Ella, if you want to tell us a bit about yourself and your journey with the Fresh Film Festival.
So I'm 18 and I'm doing my Leaving Cert this year. And I kind of have always had an interest in film, and then last year was my first time committing to a big film project, and I ended up winning first place somehow.
That's amazing, Ella. And yeah, I watched your film that won last year, and it was just incredible. It's really an inspiring film. If you want to tell people a bit about it.
So it's called Learning to Dance Like a Bird, and it's a film that's set in the 80s, and on the surface it's between two teens. It's a coming of Eddie Brown, she kind of has her experience with her first love, that she struggles with CD and anxiety, and it's kind of like the two dual topics are running together. And I knew I kind of wanted to do a film, but I also wanted to do it being a teen and suffering with a mental health disorder. And I took on those dual topics. It's basically a coming of age romance.
Yeah, but what's incredible about it, Ella, what I found anyway, is that, you know, you incorporated the topic of mental health into it, especially OCD, which I found incredible. And I have watched very, very few films, indeed, or indeed short films, that have incorporated that into a film.
One thing that I think, and I know a lot of people are like a good few friends, and actually myself, for a while I'd been aiming to make a film about it. I tried... I made a film before, which won Best School the year before, but I wanted to like focus and hone in on a character that suffers. I think a lot of films that do address it almost like, I don't know, I haven't seen a film myself that focused and honed in on OCD specifically, and I think it's a topic that needs to be discussed.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. And I remember just being fascinated with that. So what was the importance of you to have that come across in the film?
When you're taking on a topic like mental health, you need to do research. So I discussed, as I said, a lot of my friends actually suffer with OCD. So I was talking to them about it, and then I read a couple books about OCD and Bible guides for people with it. Because I didn't want to go into it without being full on it, obviously. And I don't know. I just feel like it's a topic that more people becoming more comfortable talking about, but yet there's not much representation of it on film.
No, definitely. And that's why I was so excited to chat to you as well about it, because, you know, having a podcast on mental health as well, there's not very many podcasts that talk about mental health or any films. So yeah, I was just so excited to ask you about that. But what got you interested in film in general? What sparked in you that interest?
Well, when I was younger, I was obsessed with books. Always was thinking like, I turn these into movies, and I wanted to be an author when I was very young. So I'd write stories. And as I turned like 10, I like watching a lot of behind the scenes things, like Harry, like all of that. I started watching YouTube videos and reading books about making films. And then when I was around 12, I started with my film and making films at top. And then when I turned 16, I decided to make my first film school, which was called Four. That won Best School in the Fresh Film Festival. And then when I had all the time in fourth year, I was like, I'm going to put my mind to this. And I actually went off with like experience and decided to try to make this one. Just like, it kind of taught me that like, if you just go for something, like I reached out the deep end with it and just didn't really let anything hold me back when I was writing. Somehow managed to, I guess.
Which is, no, but Ella, it's honestly incredible, because the whole set of the film as well, I was just, the characters are one thing, the storyline's one thing, but the set that you have in the film, I'm going to link your short film in the description box below so people can watch it, but you set it in a way that it's in two different houses. So what was that like, A, getting those two houses to film in? When people watch the short film, they're going to understand what I mean. And, you know, there's a scene as well where the two actors are outside dancing in the middle of the street. It must be middle of the night. So what was that like, that filming? What was the experience about?
Yeah, they were probably the two most difficult scenes to film. Obviously, I set these with a layer because I couldn't really have cars in it. And I think there's bits of it that you can probably see cars. But the two different houses... One is mine, the girl's house. You cannot see the windows at all. You'll get what I'm saying. But when you're standing, like you're able to. So that was all editing. Filmed that scene at like 2 a.m. because it ran out, and I was on a ladder. Lots of friends that helped me, and we were all together. I think especially those like window shots, because it's like on top of a ladder standing, and like I was on the phone to the actor. While also filming it, because it's like you don't have a cinematographer when you're making films at a young age. And then that final scene was probably one of the most difficult to film. We filmed it like 2 a.m. We started at 12, filmed until like 4, so there'd be no getting calls being for noise complaints because we were playing music and people thought we were like drunk. And it just, we moved locations in that scene because the police car came and kicked us for yelling out the windows at us. A bit of a
mess. My goodness.
That was the last day with the film equipment as well, so we had to get it done. It was really fun though, that last one specifically.
Yeah, but it's an incredible film, so everyone should go watch it. You'll kind of understand what we're talking about when you do go watch it. But hopefully we didn't spoil too much. But what is a film that has inspired you, Ella? Like, even with that film or through other films that you've made?
Of course, my favorite film that inspired me is probably Call Me By Your Name, since I watched it like about 2 or 3 years ago. I said it's a lot of people's answers because it's spectacular, but it didn't directly influence Learning to Dance Like a Bird, but it kind of helps the way that I approach film, because it's like approach to like the human experience, I guess, and that's kind of what I like to make my films about and like write about, the characters and the people, and I've let them write the story. Just what I'm trying to do with my next films. And I guess, yeah, I just think it's a beautiful film with the cinematography, direction, writing, everything about it, I think is amazing. And the music in that film as well is spectacular.
Oh, 100%. It's the last scene for me that always gets me in that film. It's the scene of Timothée Chalamet. And that for me was like the film where he really showed his full acting potential, when he's looking into the fire at the end of the film. It is just, and the music as well gets me every time.
Well, it's amazing.
I think it's one of those films where everything came together so well. Everything about it was just
every
fantastic.
Aspect of the effect, and it came together exactly.
So can you tell us a bit about any, you said you're inspired by that film in a sense when it comes to characters' relations. So can you tell us a bit more about any future short films you're planning?
Well, I'm actually running a film at the moment for next year. It's another bit. I haven't completely the script yet. I have a couple of ideas working on the characters, because I kind of, my making is to really get the characters down and kind of learn everything about them and figure it out in my head, and then from there I kind of let them, I have a plan, ask the girls in the film. I'm yet to finish it, but I'm hoping to do that next. It's basically exploring lesbian romance between these two girls, and basically how society expects from what they think society expects from them, kind of relationship, and the different, like, again, it's like a teenage, but instead of being set in the 80s, it's more like, and I don't know, I kind of again want to draw on my own experiences, again let these write the story. That's kind of what I'm working on at the moment.
That's amazing. What I love about your films, Ella, is that you kind of focus on topics that aren't discussed very much. So, of course, you won the festival last year. So how was it winning the entire festival? What was that feeling like?
It was so, I really didn't expect it. It was one of my first films, and I was so happy with the outcome of the film. And I wasn't expecting to go and receive recognition for that on top of it. But I was really proud of myself, and it was like a nice end to the process, and it kind of like tied together quite nicely. And it was just like the standard of films last year was insane. And I think that there were like most that could have taken first place. So I was honored that mine got recognized, and I could kind of was awarded to that and testament to that.
Yeah, 100%. And every year, I think the standard of the films, the Fresh Film Festival go up and up and up. I came across the festival originally in 2020, when there was a lockdown and there was nothing for anybody to do at home. So that was the first time I came across the festival. Mm-hmm. And then again in 2021, I kind of found, you know, my real interest sparks then 2021 when I saw the festival online. And it was really incredible to see the stand, like you said, the standard of films was insane. But this year, because you won the festival last year, you have been given the opportunity to be on the panel of the films this year. So what's it been like on the other side of the festival this year? What's it been like judging and being a part of the panel?
I was like, I was kidding what I was even doing there, to be honest. I loved seeing all the film, because I feel like having a word in being able to stand by those films that you think are really cool. There are so many films and it's phenomenal. And it was really fun going and meeting everyone involved on the board, and it was strange to see like the process behind it, but it was a great experience. I think I learned a lot, because so much to draw from in those films. They were absolutely incredible. As you said, the standard of film is amazing. It's me that young people produce amazing films and going for it, like, I don't know, it's just like, it was such an opportunity, and like,
that's incredible. And I say, yeah, I'm so excited for one to see the films that come out of this year's festival. I think it's going to be amazing, I think. Do you have any tips for any filmmakers young and, you know, the ones who are just starting out and the ones who've had experience, any filmmakers listening, do you have any tips for them?
If you assert to be authentic rather than original, then originality from that, I think a lot of people are worried about making, they think that they're going to be cliched and, or so they want to like go and do something different. But what I like is kind of your heart into a film is going to be original, and to not be like discouraged by other people and to just go for it and genuinely your heart, and you determined you'll make a spectacular film. It's like what Quentin Tarantino says about if someone's passionate about film, they're always going to make a great film. It's the way that it works. Say go for it and just start wrong and make a plan and do it. You film it on your phone, like any way if you want to film.
It's great advice, Anna. Thank you so much. Unfortunately, we're running out of time here, so I'm going to ask you the final two questions I ask all my interviewees. So the first one is, what is a quote that you live by and why?
A quote that I live by is that the harder I work, the more luck I seem to have. I just think if you put work into something that you love, you'll be rewarded for it. As I say, kind of what I said before, if you're passionate about something and work for it, you're going to get rewarded for it.
I love that. I think that's so, so true. And one thing you want people to take away from our conversation here today?
And be discouraged by other people and just go for what you want, what your dreams are. If you work for them, they'll come true.
Short and simple. I love it. Thank you so much, Ella. I'm hoping to see you this year in the festival. So thanks for joining me here today.
Thank you.
And that is all for episode 2 of season 2 of this podcast. A big thank you again to Alison and Ella for chatting with me and coming on the podcast. It was such a joy to talk to them. Don't forget, everyone, there is still another 8 amazing episodes to come, so don't worry, this won't be the last you'll hear of us. If you enjoyed this episode, please make sure you follow this podcast on Instagram @_talkaboutapodcast, and of course on the podcast platform you are listening to right now. You can find Talk About a Podcast on all podcast streaming platforms, including Spotify, Apple Playlist, Google Playlist, Anchor, Pocket Casts, and many, many more. You can find all the links to these platforms in my link tree in the description box below. Please don't forget to leave a comment and rate this podcast, as it can really help boost my listenership and get this podcast on an even bigger platform. I appreciate everyone's support. Thank you all so much. And I'm so excited for episode 3, where I'll be interviewing yet another wonderful guest.
Thanks for listening, giving us your time to tune in. Join Emily, same time next week on Talk About It.
The intro and exit music you hear on every episode is by the very talented Hannah Kinsella. She's a singer-songwriter from Ireland in County Dublin. If you want to go show her some support, you can follow her on her Instagram page and YouTube @BuskyBops.